Our scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah, 43rd chapter, the 1st through the 7th verses. It's on page 672 in your Pew Bible. But now says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That's the reading of the word of the Lord.
A few years ago, I was driving home to Missouri. I think it was on Christmas Day, and it was a day kind of like today in that there had been some major snowstorms, and there was a lot of snow piled up, and the highways were cleared, but you could still see what had happened the day before, that dozens of cars kind of stuck alongside of the road or run off into the snow, just waiting for tow trucks to get them. I even saw one in a pond that had gone off the road into a pond. I thought, oh my gosh, there's a story there. And you saw the big 18-wheel trucks that were stuck along the side of the road or gone off the road. And I even saw this, I just kind of a random picture I found, but something like this. I even saw some U-Haul trucks and trailers stuck on along the side of the road. And I thought, these poor people, I thought, they're moving, and that's traumatic enough, and then you're stuck. All of your things there in the truck, and you're stuck in the snow, and who knows when they'll get out. I thought that's got to be just the most miserable feeling in the world. It's traumatic enough, isn't it, just to move, to take all your possessions and pack them up and move them to a new place? If you've done that, you know, it's hard work boxing up all of your things, your dishes, your clothes, your books, your furniture, the old photographs, the pots and pans, the tools and toys, and to bundle them all up and put them in a truck and to take them someplace new. At the times I've moved, I'm always a little overwhelmed when you get a view like this. Let me try again. There we go. You see all of your things there in the truck, and you think, this is my stuff. These are my possessions. There it all is here in this space inside this truck. I mean, and to think these are the things that I own. And to see it all there piled in a truck is a little humbling, I think, to think, okay, these are my possessions here. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think, what do I possess? What do I own? If your house burnt down, and you had to somehow list your possessions for insurance purposes, I mean, what would be on that list? What would be a part of that accounting? I mean, how many shirts and pairs of shoes and how many dishes and yard tools and how many blankets and TVs and pieces of furniture? If you were to somehow to list them all and to say, these are my possessions, what would be on that list? So what do you possess? What belongs to you? Or Or maybe a better question than what belongs to you is, who belongs to you? Now, I know that's a different thing, and I'm not talking about slavery or, you know, the evils of a human being trying to own another human being, but who belongs to you? I remember the day I got to meet my cat, Max. Some of you got to meet Max, and a lot of you know Max died in October, and we had to say goodbye to Max after he'd spent 15 years with me. And when I took him into my home, he was a little kitten. There was a house out in the country with a sign that said free kittens, and they had a litter of kittens, and there were three left, and here was this little bitty, furry, gray thing, and you could hold him in your hand. And I promised the folks, I said, I'd give him a good home, I'd do my very best for him, and I scooped him up and brought him home. And I thought, as I got him in my house, I thought, this little guy belongs to me. And not in the way like a shirt belongs to you or a physical possession, but I thought, this little cat, I thought, he's mine. I thought, where I go, if I move somewhere, I'm taking him with me. So whenever it came time to pack and go, whenever I moved, the last thing to get loaded up was him and the cat carrier to go along. And I thought, you know, where I go, he'll go. I'll provide for him food and medical care. I will give him a home, a place where he'll belong, and there'll be food and water and care and just a place that's his for him. And I thought, he belongs to me. So what about you? Who belongs to you? Now, I know that's just a cat and just a pet, but in terms of the people of this world, who belongs to you? If you think about the day that you brought your child home from the hospital and you thought, this is my child. Or the day the adoption people came and put the child in your arms and you said, okay, this is my son, this is my daughter. Or the day that you stood maybe even right up here at the front of a church with another person and you held hands and you gave each other rings and you said, I do, and you think, okay, we belong to each other. We're in this together. I belong to you. You belong to me. Who belongs to you to say we're connected? You know, we're in each other's corners. When you have to put down that emergency contact on the form, you think that's the name that you think of that you put down there. Who belongs to you? What we call this Sunday, this Sunday is the first Sunday after the Epiphany, and it's often referred to as Baptism of the Lord Sunday, because we remember Jesus' baptism on this first Sunday after Epiphany. And if you've hung around church for a while, you kind of know the story, don't you? Jesus went with the crowds to see John the Baptist, to hear him preached, and Jesus joined with the crowds to be baptized. And as he was baptized, it's a very beautiful image that we get, sort of like the Trinity at work in the picture. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus as he comes out of the water as a dove. And a voice from heaven, God the Creator, speaks and says, this is my Son, the Beloved. With you, I'm well pleased. Now, all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them record this as sort of a beginning in Jesus' ministry, as sort of a starting point for Jesus' work. Up to this point, it's been 30 silent years. We haven't heard anything from Jesus. But his baptism marks a beginning. And with these words that are spoken to Jesus, this is my Son, the Beloved, part of me. We are connected. We belong to each other. I am pleased with you. With that, Jesus begins his ministry. Well, maybe even a better question than who belongs to you is, to whom do you belong? Who says to you, says, this person is connected to me. I'm not leaving them behind. I will do whatever it takes to take care of them. To whom do you belong? I had some folks in my church in New York that their daughter was doing some work in Alaska and then was driving back from Alaska to New York State. if you can imagine that drive. I don't know how long it took her, but it was a long time. And she had this old car with like 180,000 miles on it, and the car made it back as far as Illinois, and the car finally died. And it, you know, gave up the ghost. And so her dad immediately, he says, okay, you know, got the phone call, and he immediately got in the car to go and get her. Now, the thing was, she was a woman who was in her 40s. You know, she was not some 16-year-old out stranded on the side of the road. I mean, this was a grown woman. She was in her 40s. But her parents said, I remember what her parents said. He said, it doesn't matter how old she becomes, she is still our daughter. You know, and if she's broke down on the side of the road, I'm going to go and help her. You know, what he was saying was, okay, she belongs to them, and so it doesn't matter how old she gets, we're going to go and get her, we're going to do what we can for her. Well, I often ask people, I say, who would get in the car, no questions asked, to go and get you? If you were stuck in the snow 50 miles away and you got on the phone and said, I need help, who is that person that would say, okay, you know, and get in the car and go and get you? Well, those are the people to whom you belong. Who would wait up in the hospital room for you late into the night, would sit there and not wanting to leave you alone? Who would go, if you were in jail, who would go and visit you or bail you out? Who would go to the pharmacy at 1 a.m. for medicine for you? To whom do you belong? Well, Jesus hears these words of belonging and connection at his baptism. This is my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. You belong to me. I belong to you. The thing is, sisters and brothers, the good news is those words are not just reserved only for Jesus. The good news is the connection Jesus has with God as Christians in and through Christ, we can have that connection too. We as Christians, we belong to God. We as Christians, we claim our identity as God's children. And I think that in that verse that we heard from Isaiah, that's what Isaiah is trying to get across to Isaiah's people, is that they belong to God. And God speaks to the people and says, and I know you can't read that real tiny print here, but Isaiah, you know, God speaks to the people and says, don't fear. I've called you by name. I know you by name. You are mine. And so it goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overwhelm you. It says, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you. That baptismal reality that Jesus experienced in his baptism, we know and claim that too, that Jesus came so that we too might belong to God in the same way. So sisters and brothers, hear the good news. You belong to God. We belong to God. You know how it is when that big family, that family with like 8 kids, when they get in the car and then they count the kids, they say, do we got everyone? And they 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, to make sure everyone's there. Well, you know, in a way, God counts you as well because you belong to God. God makes sure he's got you. That means that there is no road we can walk down that God does not walk with us. It means we are never abandoned. We are never left behind. We are never alone. We belong to God. You know what it's like when you leave someplace and you get about a half hour down the road and then there's that terrible realization. You think, oh my gosh, I forgot something. Isn't that the worst feeling when you get, I mean, not a mile down the road, but I'm talking about like a half hour, you know, 30 miles down the road or whatever, and you think, I forgot something. Some things you leave behind, don't you? When you have that realization, it's that cheap jacket that you spent $15 on and you say, yeah, I forgot it, darn it, but I'm not going back for it, it's not worth it. The pair of shoes you got on sale and you say, you know what, I got a lot of shoes, I'm not turning around for that. Some things you forget, but there are some things, aren't you? Some things you say, okay, we've got to go back. Your glasses, you say, oh, I need my glasses, I got to go back. My phone, I got to get, you know, we got to turn around. I left my phone, we got to go back and get it. But even more than something in your glasses or your phone, think of something precious, like that piece of jewelry that your grandmother gave you that's been passed through the family for years, and you think, oh, I forgot it. We got to turn around. We got to get that. That musical instrument that you've had for years that's so precious, and you think, oh, we're going to go back and get it. The thing that is precious enough to you that it'll make you turn around and go back and get it. When you do that, what you're saying is, this belongs to me. I've got to go get it. Sisters and brothers, the good news is we're so much more than a thing, and we belong to God. God does not leave us behind. The same way Jesus belongs to God, because of Jesus, because of Christ's coming, the good news, you belong to God too. Amen.